The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The General Banter Podcast with Colin Geddes.
Right about now, baby. I want you to get yourself and your soul together.
This man will make your liver quiver. This man will make your bladder splatter. Let's all welcome the world's godfather of soul.
Colin Geddes.
It's Geddes, actually.
Geddes.
Geddes.
Geddes. Geddes. Geddes.
Fuck you. What the fuck's happening, people? Welcome to the General Banter Podcast. On today, that is late Wednesday, the 4th of January. I'm really sorry. I'm really, really fucking sorry that this is so late, guys. I tell you what it was, you know, new year, new me. You forget about it. You got that weekend to compete with. What's going on? Oh my God, it's the new year. You got that false start. 1st of January. Can't wait to attack 2017. Oh, it's a Sunday. It's a Sunday morning. You're in Northern Ireland. You can't do fucking anything. Because some fucking Bible-bashing cunt was like, ye shall not be shopping on a Sunday. Why is that? Because I have to go to church. Just because you're in church doesn't mean everyone else has to sit at home and just fucking wait till 1 o'clock, you fucking prick. In their church just fucking scamming money. Not even praying to our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Okay, false start there on the old podcast. What the fuck am I talking about already? Let's hit some shit up here. Ignore the fact that I'm sort of kind of have the cold. May or may not lose my voice halfway through this fucking thing. Story of my week, mate. 2017, off to a bad start. First of all, Lavery's Comedy Club is tonight. I never fuck up about it. I never stop vlogging about it. It's tonight. Headlining is Shane Todd. He's doing a whole pile of new shit. You know? Sexy. Supporting is Connor Keyes from Oma, the absolute sweetheart of a man. Aaron McCann has jumped in last minute to MC. I hopefully will do a set, although my throat has been in murderous pain for about a week. So, what the fuck is that? Yeah, so basically we'll see what happens tonight, but it should be a good one. If you can hear this in time, please come down. You know, the Lavery's before Christmas was fucking unreal. And this is the first one of the new year. Everyone's skint, everyone's whatever. But, you know, you can't put a price on fun. Well, you can. £6. Hiccup and barf. There's one tonight. There's one the 20th of January. Lineup not released. We're going to do a big fucking pre-organised haul of gig names. What? That doesn't make sense. Yeah, I'm just going to organise a whole lot of them in advance instead of waiting till a week before and going, who wants to do Lavery's? Another shout out to beer52.com, the sponsor of this podcast. I must send them an email. I haven't heard from them since, you know, the start of fucking, or the end of November, possibly. So, beer52.com are the sponsors of this podcast. What is that, Colin? I'll tell you what it is. Do you like craft beer? Yeah. Can you not be arse going out and buying 8 different bottles of it from around the world? No worries. Beer 52 will put them all in one box with a fucking magazine, bitch. And then send it out to your house. You subscribe to it and they send you rare and exotic beers straight to your house. And you get to eat those. You eat those beers, guys. Eat those fucking beers and be like, this tastes better than the 18 tins of fizzy tramps piss I normally drink. Go for it, guys. If you listen to this podcast, use the code BANTER10 and get £10 off your first box. Do you know what I'm saying? Enjoy it. Beers to your fucking door. Beer52.com. Use the code BANTER10. Get a tenner off your first bucks. So there you have it, guys. You're welcome. I cannot breathe right now. I swear to God. We'll move on here. I am still recording this audio through a microphone into a camera, which is a terrible idea. Absolutely terrible idea. But of course I made the mistake of selling my sound recorder to Mickey Bartlett, which I mentioned last week and probably the week before. He's like, oh, I'm going to start a podcast and all. And I was like, yeah, no problem. I'm actually looking to buy a new piece of equipment. Here you go. And I sold him mine, which was just a very basic H2N or H4N or something like that. And made by Zoom. And you just talk straight into it, pull the card out, shove it in the computer, take the file off, you know, add the intro, export it, upload it. You know, that was the process. He hasn't done a podcast yet, and I haven't bought a new piece of equipment yet, because the one I want to buy is about £350. And all I'm saying is, when it's around Christmas time, you're like, how prioritised is this £350 that I need to spend right now? When we just bought a new car and bought a fucking, paid for all the insurance in one fucking go like a stupid cunt. So, you know, hopefully this week I'll buy a new piece of equipment, which I'm hoping is going to step up the whole podcast game in general, because I'm going to be able to add extra mics. I'm going to be able to take the extra mics around the place. I'm going to be able to record. Who the fuck is that? I'm going to be able to... what is this? Okay. Going to be able to record live podcasts better. So it's an investment, isn't it? So that'll be along soon. I might look into like soundboard options to plug it in and, you know, play some funny clips and whatnot. Which I think is just going to step the overall quality of the podcast up, you know what I mean? Boring! General banter, what have I been up to? Gigging mostly. You can see most of the highlights from the old gigs on my latest vlog if you go to YouTube. Oma was about the last gig I didn't talk about. We had the Nerve Centre in Derry, which is on the 28th. Great times, you know. Bit of confusion over the tickets, because the guy was like, oh, this place holds 280. And I was like, what? 280 seats? He goes, well, it's 260, hey, but fucking blah de blah. 260's packed out in there, and I was like, no problem. So we get up, there's a pile of seats, I didn't count them. He goes, you've pre-sold. Now, this was on about 2 weeks' notice. He goes, you pre-sold like 125 or something tickets. And he goes, which is more than we've sold for New Year's Eve. And I was like, fair enough. And he goes, right, so that's your pre-sales. And I was like, fuck, maybe we're, I don't know. Anyway, I was thinking maybe I get a lot of fucking walk-ups. You know, are you going to get double that in walk-ups to the door? Don't know about that on the 28th of December. But anyway, I was like, right, we'll see what happens. So I was kind of worried. I was like, this place is going to look super empty. You know, 260 seats with only like 125 people in it. So we get up. It's full of people, you know what I mean? It's a load of people in it. They all pile into the main room. It's full, you know what I mean? It's full of people. There's a few, maybe like the front row on the right didn't have people on it. And that's maybe like five or six seats. And then the rest of it seemed like, you know, it was full of people. And I was talking to Mickey Bartlett's girlfriend. She's like, oh, it's some crowd you just have out there. And I was like, yeah, fuck it. Yeah, what is it? I don't know what he said. There's like 100 and something pre-sales. And she goes, no, it's fucking full of people out there. She goes, the guy at the door said it was pretty much sold out. I was like, it couldn't be sold out. You know, it doesn't look sold out. We didn't sell that many tickets. And she's like, no, it's sold out. No. Then I came to realise... What they do is, if they've only sold 125 tickets, they'll only put out like 150 seats. You know, you don't want to put out the full 300 seats whenever you haven't sold that many fucking tickets. So, essentially what happened was, they put out like 150, and then a few more people turned up, and they're like, shit, we'll put out 160. And then I think at the end of the day, we had like 138 people. You know, talking numbers with you guys, breaking down the numbers, but... Which I honestly, you know, on that amount of notice in Derry at that time of year, I was like, I will take that. And you know what? It was fucking brilliant. It felt like it was full of people and it was a great gig. Big laughers. Great fun, guys. Had a great time. And then we went back to had to drop fucking Armacan and Oma. And then home. And then Maureen, beyond it. I still haven't recovered. I literally still haven't covered because Boxing Day I was so fucking drunk. It's not even worth talking about. You know, the old 6 in the morning, it's just me with a bottle of Jack Daniels in my hand, like I'm sipping a wee bottle of Diet Coke. That was me. Guys, my ear popped there, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm completely deaf. So that was great times, and then of course, I'll tell you what was funny about it. If you go on my Instagram, there's a picture of girlfriend Maureen, and she looks like Honey G, because she was wearing this like bomber jacket thing, and jeans, and then like high top shoes. And she's like, do I look too much like Honey G? And then I give her my hat. And she put on a pair of sunglasses. And she was like, I was like, yep, you're actually Honey G right now. But she had makeup, of course, all around this Christmas period. You know, a lot of people going out. That's when they want to get their makeup done. And she has to fucking do them. So most mornings she was booked out from like 8 in the morning. So we would go to Derry. She went to Derry for the crack. And then she's like, I have makeup in the morning. You know, like a whole load of appointments in a row. And she always does this thing, like, will you set your alarm just so I don't sleep in? And what happens is, I end up having to get up. And she has to go and do work, and I don't. And I'm like, why am I getting up right now? Just in case you're afraid to sleep in. And it would be fine if it was one day. But I had to go to Oma the next night, and I drove up there. And then the very next morning after that, she had more makeup. Will you set your alarm again? And I'm like, I am fucking about to keel over. I'm so fucking tired. Will you get up with me? Just get up and be awake while I'm awake, just so that I don't feel any other. Like, my early morning work is this. You know what I mean? I get up early in the morning to do fucking podcasts. I get up early in the morning to do all the admin-y shitty work that isn't doing stand-up or trying to be funny. You know, I'll edit videos early in the morning, but you never see me going, here, will you just set an alarm for 7:30 and just get up with me on your day off for no fucking reason whatsoever? Why? Just because I might want you just awake while I'm awake, all right? Because I couldn't possibly let you sort of enjoy your time off, you know, because I have things to do. Which is madness. She's in bed right now. If I went up and was like, do you want to get up? She'd be like, fuck off. I told you I'm sleeping in tonight. It's going to be a long night tonight at Lavery's. And I'm like, I'm going too. I have to do fucking stand up with no throat. And my ear just popped. And I feel like I need to shove a pen in it. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Oma, what another pile of banter that was. Always good. We got put up in this. We're in Bogans. And they put us up in like the wee staff room. Oh my God, my ear. And I'm not gonna lie, guys, there was all the stock of their crisps, and me and Mickey Bartlett went absolutely hard as a motherfucker on the bacon fries. You're like, we are the worst people to leave in a room with bacon fries. We're gonna clean this bitch out. You know, Ryan Cullen was there. Spoke to him, good to see him. Funny guy from Donegal, as far as I know. It was just a good night, and then the old school days of me and Mickey Bartlett boozing it up and fucking, you know, eating kebabs and all that shit. Some of the stuff I still talk about in stand-up. Just wasn't there anymore, you know what I mean? We're like, do you want to get something to eat? You know, both of us went to fucking, you know, sailed around. We're like, we'll go to that 24-hour Asda. I pulled up beside him. We just looked at each other now, and we're like, well, it's not open anymore. And he's like, yeah, well, we'll just go home. And I was like, okay. And then we both just went our separate ways. Very sad. Very sad times for me and Mickey Bartlett's relationship. Any other time that would have been like, leave your car, drive your car in this river where it's safe, and then me and you are going to some strange person's house because they said they had two tins of warm tenants, and then we're going to get a kebab, and then we'll have a naked wrestle, and then we'll sleep, and then we'll just figure out how to get home tomorrow. Gone are those days. You know, gone are the days where, you know, as soon as we fucking see each other, we'll go, here, are we just going straight to get drink now, or what? Oh, now you're here, I'm just gonna, let me drop everything I'm doing for drinking. I legit might stop drinking. First of all, I was sick. The sickness kicked off on Boxing Day, right? Kicked off on Boxing Day, stayed up too late, drank too much out of very suspicious vessels. Oh, do you want to use these shot glasses? No one's used for fucking 8 months since the last time 10 people used these shot glasses. Sure. Yes, I do. And you drink out of that, and then you wake up and you're like, oh, did the devil throat fuck me while I slept there? Nope, you just have some sort of horrendous throat problem. Cool. And that was it. That was the start of it. Feeling like shit. Eating 500 Hall soothers. Like, what's going on here? You know, just got a bit worse. And like New Year's Eve, I was just sick. You know what I mean? I just felt like shit all day. Had the gig beforehand. And I was just like, I don't feel good. And then I just fucking tried to relax. And then all we're doing really was going around to Garfield Maureen's sort of second cousin-y type house. I don't know. We see them all the time, but we're just going around there to eat a load of food and fucking drink. And I swear to God, I had two beers and I was like, I feel like hog shit. And I very nearly drove because I was like, I'm a bit sick. And then her mom was like, nah, you have a drink and I'll drive. And I was like, okay. And then, you know, when you just can't do it, I was like, I had two beers and I was like, I feel like the sort of dizziness from having the cold or flu or whatever the fuck I had. And then you added like two beers to it. And I was just like, I do not feel great right now. And then the problem was, I was so fucking exhausted. And everyone kept going, oh, Colin, you look like shit. And I was like, yeah, believe me. You know when you're like dropping all the hints that you can't. I was like, believe me, I feel every bit as bad as I look. And I was like, oh, Colin, you look tired and like shit. Yep, I told you, I'm fucking exhausted. Because Maureen won't let me fucking sleep in. Because I have to do my work and her work, seemingly. And I was just exhausted. And then one of those things where at like 10 o'clock, you know that you're like, I should definitely. It was the worst fucking thing. I was like, I should be in bed right now. I should be in fucking bed. Yet, I know rightly I have about another 4.5 hours to put in here. And that's exactly what happened. I just switched to fucking like water. And I was pounding waters. I was just sitting there and they're trying to all fucking play these, you know, stupid game with a mouthpiece. And there was another game where you did these accents, which normally I would flourish. Flourishing, you know, do a quote from a movie in an Indian accent, no fucking problem. I'll be back, bastard. I'll do that all fucking day, as long as it's Indian and has swear words in it. Get to the chopper, you cunt. All that shit, I'm great at movie quotes. Are you not entertained? I said, are you not entertained? You fucking bastard. I could do that all. I think we're going to need a bigger boat. You bastard. Loads of things. I can do loads of quotes. Look, I'm your daddy, bastard. All day with the accents. Like I said, as long as it's Indian and I've seen the film. Great times. But see, by the time we got home, I fucking just collapsed. Just twice a year I run out of fucking fuel. Completely. Just like, and it took, like, it literally took me fucking maybe till today. Today's the first day I was able to get up early in the morning and not just be dead. Or like set my alarm for fucking 7:30 or 8 and actually not get out of bed till fucking 11:45. Just because I was wrecked. You know, you feel that difference. Like, oh, I can get up. You know what I mean? I can get up and I feel a bit like shitty because it's morning time. And then there's those days where you're like, I cannot fucking move. And that takes discipline when your timetable's as fucking flexible as mine is, bitch. You're the king of the world, bastard. Which is just weird, you know what I mean? It's like, my New Year's Eve was shit because I was sick. I remember my birthday, even though girlfriend Maureen threw an amazing surprise party, which made me feel actually bad because I was like, no one's ever done anything that nice for me ever. But the day of my actual birthday, which was like the middle of that week, something had happened and I was, you know, you're just like, I was just in the house by myself. I was like, I'm really sad right now. It's like, I turned 30 today and it's almost like the world went, just you fucking sit in the house there and just think about what you've done. It's just like, I feel sad right now. You know, top of, which goes to show you, like, don't... Who the fuck keeps messaging me? It's like, don't wait around for events, you know. Oh, Christmas is going to be fun. Oh, I have a holiday booked. I'm going to have fun at that. Oh, my birthday's going to be great. You know, because there's always the option that it's going to be shite. So you have to enjoy yourself the rest of the time, you know what I'm saying? Don't wait for events, guys. You know what I'm saying? Just wait for fucking, just trying to have fun, is what I'm saying. Just have fun, guys. Yeah. I have never had more fucking Facebook messages in my life while I'm sitting here. This is ridiculous. This brings me to another thing. I watched a couple of speeches this morning. Some dude, I forget his name's up there, actually, I kept it up. Simon Sinek. What are you, Simon? Why, how, what? He's obviously some sort of fucking intelligentsia, fucking, like, academic type motherfucker. But he's basically talking about, like, millennials, which is a term, which I'm a millennial, technically. You know, he said anyone born after 1984 is technically a millennial. And he, you know, the general thing was, like, you know, bosses saying that millennials are hard to manage because they just don't function right. And to an extent, I would agree with it. He was saying, like, they're hard to manage. They feel entitled, but they're not willing to work for anything. They have no fucking patience whatsoever. And all this shit. And I was like, well, go ahead there and describe me straight away. But the points were good, you know, the points were good. He was saying, like, a lot of it was to do with, like, social media and phones, which I actually touched on last week, if you remember, guys. I was like, you know, they were saying that if you were looking at the internet, that was the other event that wasn't, you know, as fun as it maybe could have been. Christmas. You know, just heading around the place, going to my dad's house, cooking the food, leaving. You know, it was like, it wasn't the fucking Home Alone. Well, actually, a Home Alone Christmas would be a fucking nightmare, but as in the film, not just me by myself eating a fucking piece of turkey, but, like, you know, it wasn't the movie Christmas that you would like to have. And then you see other people having a great time and you're like, oh, why can't I have that? And you're like, you're not owed anything, you fat baldy twat. But it does, it enhances the sort of feeling if you see it on social media so much. And he was talking about people with phones and, like, they find it particularly hard to form relationships and to, you know, make an impact in their job. Because they expect things so quickly. He's like, you don't fucking wait for movies. You know, you want to watch a program. You binge watch all the fucking things. You just get everything you want straight away. And he goes, people aren't willing to sort of have patience or wait for anything. He's like, whereas building a career or building a relationship, he's like, they're slow burning, often, like, messy fucking things that take ages. And it's true, you know, if you were to talk to even me, you know, who I don't really particularly know what I want to do in my life, but if you were to talk about how I got to be sitting here doing a fucking podcast, you know, before I edit a couple of videos and send them off to, like, a client and then do whatever and then go to Lavery's tonight and do Lavery's, how the fuck did I get here? It's usually a fucking just mucky process of worked here, hated it, left, tried this, failed, moved on to this, decided it wasn't for me, did this, stuck with it, learned this thing, moved on, you know, figured it out, was skint for ages, tried that, you know what I mean? It's like a process. And he was like, people are just so are gonna be so unwilling to work or whatever that he's like, you're just gonna waft through your life, which made sense to me. Either, you know, there's a lot of fucking people where it's just, like, this guy was saying, you know, you ask someone, like, how's your job? And he's like, it's fine. It's the same as it was yesterday, it's fine. And he goes, everything's just gonna, you're just gonna waft through. And in this day and age when people are getting, like, fucking, you know, in school, medals for fucking coming in last, he's like, what that actually does is fuck your self-esteem up. Which I knew, you know what I mean? I talked about that one time on this podcast. Only I didn't articulate it quite as well as he did. You actually feel like shit if someone gives you something that you don't deserve. You know, I struggle with that when it comes to like a gift, even, you know what I mean? I told you on this before, the Christmas where I was down at girlfriend Maureen's house and they were giving out presents on Christmas Eve, and someone handed me a bag and there was a GoPro in it, and her mum and dad bought me a GoPro. I know they're not like the most expensive shit in the world, but I was like, why the fuck did you buy me a GoPro? And they're like, oh, don't know, just kind of wanted one ourselves, but you may as well use it, and then if we need it, we'll borrow it. And I was like, fuck me. You know what I mean? I still feel like shit if I'm gifted something. And it's the same as when you're a kid, you know what I mean? You do fuck all, someone gives you something, and you're like, oh, right, okay. Then you, like this dude said, you meet the real world, and it's not like that. You don't get everything you want. You know, you have this entitled feeling like, oh, well, I just should get that because I want it. And everyone's like, fuck up. You don't get whatever you want. You spoiled wee cunt. And then you feel like shit and you have low self-esteem. And then that's what happens. That's where the wafting through life happens. Very interesting shit, guys. Did that get a bit deep? Probably not. It was probably me just ranting about bollocks. But that's it. You know what I mean? You gotta get competitive kids. You know? Don't blow smoke. Oh, well done. That's good for you. You know? Oh, you look at you. You rubbed your own shite on a page. I'm going to put this on the fridge. Nah. This looks like fucking shit. Learn to draw, you fucking idiot. That's true. You got to... And it sort of shits on people who do work hard. You know what I mean? Like, if everyone gets rewarded and you're the one did the work to get where you are, then you're gonna feel... slightly cheated. You're going to be like, well, why the fuck? It's, you know, like when you're in school and you get put in a group with someone and they're a fucking smart wee bookworm and you're like, right, well, I know rightly they're going to do all the work, so we just get the coast, you know? That's not really how things work. And it's not really that fair. And I don't really know what I'm talking about here, other than I watched the wee speech this morning and I went, that was very interesting about millennials. But, I mean, it's the same attitude, just, you know, that, like, you have so much entertainment at your disposal that you just get people shitting on things. You know, like that Ronda Rousey fight happened at the weekend there, and everyone's like, haha, she got fucking beat, she's bullshit, you know, fucking, everyone thought she was the dog's dick and she got beat up and all, and you're like, what? When have you ever taken a risk like that? You know, when have you ever been involved in something as difficult as that? You know, you're not one of the most famous fighters in the world. Literally a fucking pioneer, like, and you don't know what that feels like. Plus, she's fighting someone who was the fucking champion. You know, it's not like she lost to Holly Holm, she became the champion. Holly Holm then got choked out by Misha Tate. And then Misha Tate got fucking... Or who beat her? Who there? Nunes beat... Tate or something? I can't fucking remember. Mm-hmm. I think she beat the shit out of her. Your girl Nunes is the champion, fights Ronda Rousey, who's been off for a fucking year and a half, and has terrible, terrible coaching, and she gets beat, and everyone's like, ha ha, you're fucking shit! Fucking shit, mate. And you're like, she still got beat by the champion. You know? It's not like she came back and they give her some asshole to fight. She came back and fought the best person in the world and got beat. What's the big fucking deal? Also, let's talk about that for a second. To get back to my point, that's what people are like. They've never done anything. They don't know what it involves to sort of do something like that, or what it takes to make anything. You know, you go see a movie and you come out and you go, that Avengers movie was a bit far-fetched. And you're like, yeah, it's a fucking film full of monsters. It's supposed to be nuts. Well, Superman vs. Batman was fucking... It's a ridiculous film. You know what I mean? Can you not just watch it and be like, well, whatever, it's entertaining to look at? Just people, too many fucking opinions. I witness it. Oh, even on the shitty videos I make. Oh, this one wasn't as good as whatever. This is the best one yet. Do more like this. You should quit doing it. You're like, why can't it just exist and you either like it or you don't? Everyone has to have a fucking opinion. And either way, I don't care. You know, it's nice to have people go, oh, this is really good. Thanks. Thank you. I made it for fun so that people would enjoy it. I'm glad that you have let me know that you enjoyed it. But I'm not going to fucking cry if you don't. You know what I'm saying? Fucked up. Goddamn millennials. Let's talk about that fight, though. Jesus Christ. She did get the fuck beat out of her. I'll tell you what. Here's my opinion on that fight, right? I don't understand. Well, someone else made the... I don't know what I fucking heard this on, but, like, Ronda Rousey, when she came in, was, like, tying up with everybody, throwing them on the ground and armbarring them. And she did it to fucking everybody. Then, the whole time, it's like, you know, how is this judo girl gonna learn how to box? And she's with that fucking Edmund Targaryen, or whatever his fucking Game of Thrones name is, who's a boxing trainer, and he's teaching her how to box. And they're obviously thinking, like, well, you know, she's gonna box if it's standing up, and if they go to the ground, she's gonna armbar. And it doesn't seem like there was any other training in between that. Like, oh, well, maybe there's a girl who, like Holly Holm, who can't be taken down that easy because she keeps her hips high, or her hips low, sorry. And, you know, just things like that. Oh no, what problems are we gonna run into? You know, if we're gonna beat everyone on the floor, which I assume is gonna happen, how do we get them to the floor? You know, judo often requires, you know, getting your hands on people, getting underhooks and stuff. Why isn't she doing, like, double leg takedown wrestling type shit and then just passing people's guards and armbarring them? I don't know, it feels like... physically need, like, an overall MMA coach for her to just be like, right, your boxing's alright, but this other fucking Brazilian lunatic can punch a hole in a fucking wall here. So, we're going to avoid that. We're just going to take her down, and you're going to fucking armbar. How about that? Instead of, oh, no, you're boxing sweet. We let you hit pads and all. You look really quick, so you can do that. And we'll see how it goes. You'll probably knock her out. Wrong. Don't know. I feel like he's a boxing coach. The guy that's her coach, he's probably like, well, I'm a good boxing coach, let me teach you boxing, you're gonna knock this girl out. Whereas if you fucking took her to, like, John Kavanagh or something, like a legit MMA coach, he'd be like, oh no, you don't want any part of anyone's boxing, you know, with an armbar like that. You get on the floor by any means possible. And you know, that's what other people have been doing. You know, if you're a UFC fan, watch Damian Maia, world champion Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, fucking black belt murderer. He thought he was a boxer for a while and was getting knocked the fuck out, and then went, nah, let me just choke everybody, and then just learned how to fucking negotiate fights where he would just navigate fight. What's the word? I don't know. Just get round people and get them to the floor, and the next minute they were choked out, because that's what he does to everybody. But for a while he was like, nah bro, I fucking watched a kickboxer and did a few boxing lessons and I can knock everyone out. And they're like, no, that's wrong. You move like a fucking praying mantis. Yeah, go to the floor and choke people, motherfuckers. So there you have it. There's my breakdown of a fight that I seen for 48 seconds. God damn it. That's what you want as a fighter, is to beat someone in a minute so that it goes on Instagram and everyone gets to see the full fight. That's the way to do it, bro. What else happened in the fucking news this week? Carrie Fisher, she died. And then 2 days after, her mum died, which I thought was pretty fucking sad. I don't know anything about Carrie Fisher other than she was in Star Wars, which I haven't seen. Which I know a lot of people are probably like, Colin, I can't believe you haven't fucking seen that. You know what I'm saying? Luke, I am your father, you bastard. What other quotes are there from that? I don't know. I'm so well informed on the Star Wars world. Fucking bullshit. But yeah, that's weird, isn't it? She died and her ma died the next day. It's weirder that she died first, but fuck me. Lay off the speed. There was also a large attack on New Year's Eve in Istanbul. I stuttered there and actually sounded like I was singing a song. Istanbul. Fuck me. Was it ISIS? Probably. I mean, talk about putting people off going on holidays. You know what I mean? A lot of people, I thought, went to fucking... Oh, my God. Going a lot of holidays to Turkey? Not anymore, bro. Dodgy as fuck. Click on that link, for fuck's sake. The New York Times. Turkey says it has identified gunman in Istanbul nightclub attack. Turkish Foreign Minister... Oh, right, sorry, I thought they were saying it was the Turkish Foreign... 39 people. According to preliminary information, this information is doubtful, said spokeswoman, something, something, something. According to Russia, we are checking all the time. What am I reading here? I don't know. Just pretty fucked up. Just went in, shot all around them. Like, what the fuck? What the fuck is wrong with people? Why would you do that? Like, see the idea of, like, radicalized... Like, they always just threw that around. Oh, someone was radicalized. Like, how fucking insane is that? How insane... You know, how do you turn... most of them have to be mentally ill. Don't they, like... You know, you're not going to turn a normal person. Like, how far... Like, take fucking... Just take me, for example. How fucking long are you going to have to show me videos and talk to me and explain things to me before you can turn me into, like... You can turn me around to the point where I'm like... Yeah, let's go kill them. Let's actually go kill them for the crack. Let's go do it. And I know I'm not an actual psychopath, but I feel like I could turn into one, you know? No problem. I don't know. I don't have much more to say about it, really. It's just mad. It's hard to understand. You know, like, there was a level of religious extremism in this country. But for some reason, it always seemed like normal, you know what I mean? That's the worst part about that shit. Isn't it really? When stuff like that gets normal and no one turns around and goes, this is crazy as fuck that they're, you know, we all basically live in this one country, yet it's somehow occupied by somebody else, yet there's people who are different strains of the one religion, yet they want to fucking literally cut each other apart. What? But then it just gets normal, and then jokes come about, and then you've got, like, Get My Headpiece and stuff, which I actually watched the special of. Well, you know one of those things where you put something on, and you're watching it, and then it's over, and you're like, did I just watch all that? And then I thought to myself, why not? Why not watch all of it? You know, this is your job, you should be researching other comedies. And what I will say is, if you're going to remake it in 2016 and the wee woman at the start's like, welcome to 2016, you got to update it. You know, it can't look exactly the fucking same. No one's changed their clothes. You know, I feel like they could have joked about sort of some modern stuff, but all they really did was make fun of, you know, oh, I'm becoming a Muslim and all, and the girl is in a fucking burqa. This is my burkini. The whole thing was just fucking weird. And then you realise, like, how hammed up the acting is when you've seen it, like, in nowadays. If you've seen an old clip, you're like, well, I get it. You know, it's like an older clip and whatever. But now it's all like, oh my God, I'm acting, look at me, fucking bleh. Weird. So fucking weird. Big Tim McGarry in the middle of it all. For fuck's sake. For fuck's sake, Cal. What was this one called, Cal? Don't go in there, Dad. Just left a big fucking floater in there. What are you like? You fucking idiot. Oh my God. Catholics and Sinn Féin and all that crack. I mean, I've said this before. Like, it's fine. It's fine that that exists. But most of the time, it's the only comedy that comes out of BBC NI. Apart from the new series of Late License. Which... You know, some of the lads are in. Some of the lads who were in it the first time aren't in it anymore because they pay more money in the fucking, in a Nike factory in Bangladesh than they do in the BBC without slagging them too much. hey, Colin, do you want to be on TV? Yeah. Here's the amount of money that a... Here's half the amount of money that a busker in Corn Market would make in a day. Wow, to be on actual television. How lucky am I? To be on your BBC Two show at fucking 12:30 on a Tuesday. Get the fuck out of my life. Anyway, went off on a bit of a tangent there. Istanbul, terrible. Millennials, terrible. A couple of other cool things. I seen that Rebecca Ferguson was asked to do the Trump inauguration, and she said, I'll do it if you let me sing Strange Fruit, which is not a slagging of of him. You know, do you want to, I'll sing Strange Fruit. What's that? It's just me slagging him for being a weird fruit. He's a fucking strange fruit, that one. Strange Fruit. It's actually a song by Nina Simone. Strange Fruit. Let me see. Nina Simone. And it is about black people being killed. So listen to this song. If you've heard Blood on the Leaves by Kanye West, you will have heard this song. But she wanted to sing this because it is literally about black folks being lynched in the American South. But fuck me, it's eerie as shit. What do you hear this? Class song, class voice. That's enough of that shit, because I don't necessarily want to see more pictures of people being fucking hanged. That's fucked up. I mean, do you know what the most fucked up part about that? Well, you know, other than actual humans being hung for the color of their fucking skin, but like the fact that there's photos of that, do you know what I mean? You shouldn't be able to fucking, you know, it should be shit that they talked about years ago. Like, oh, apparently they used to do this to people. You know, like, oh, there was genocide against the American, the Native Americans. And you're like, really? You shouldn't be able to go like, oh yeah, they used to hang black people and here's a load of photographs of said act. And there's just, look at that, there's a pile of sticks with a body burning on it. Like, what in the fuck? And everyone's just chilling out like, yeah, it was a good day out at the old hanging. Fuck me, like, that, there's some hanging people off a bridge. That is fucking mental, isn't it? And, like, this isn't, like, death penalty shit. Like, oh, you did something, and, you know, the authorities got hold of you, and we all decided that because you raped and murdered some children, there's no point in you being alive whatsoever, and we're going to kill you. This was, like, oh, there's a black dude. Do you want to fucking all just hang about and, and like, who gave the authority to do that? Were you allowed to just kind of see a black guy that you didn't like and you're like, well, fuck this guy. Let's, Let's definitely just... Let's hang him. Do you want to hang him? Yeah. Marty, come on around the house tomorrow and we'll hang this fucking black guy. Fuck me, like... And then the first comment in this video says, white Jesus did not die for me, my ancestor did. Ancestors did. There you go. Like, photos? That is fucking mad. And everyone's just chilling. Look at that guy's back from being whipped. Holy fuck. It's crazy. That is fucking crazy. Just everyone chilling out, pointing at them. Haha, it's hung a black guy. Pot of time. Sorry, I'm just fucking engrossed in this. Engrossed is not in a good way. Is that a... Anyway, let's move on before I fucking be sick. So she basically said, I'll do it if I can sing that song. And I don't know Rebecca Ferguson or anything about her, but I was like, that is gangster as fuck. Like, yeah, I'll do that, but I'm singing this, you racist piece of shit. Mm-hmm. But it's weird, you know, the whole black culture. I don't know how you can be racist. Like, I'm sitting here in rural Northern Ireland, right? Literally, a pile of my favourite comedians are black. You know, Richard Pryor, Patrice O'Neill, Dave Chappelle, Chris, not so much Chris Rock, but, you know, a lot of my favourite music is by black people. You know, it's like, it's just, I don't know what point I'm trying to make there, but, I don't know, it just seems weird. So that just freaked me out, that full fucking video. Let's go on to something I can really get my teeth into. I saw a video of some crazy bitch walking into a shop going like, I have little girls, and they are taken away from their mother, and they're made to fucking da-da-da, and when they cannot provide what they're being encaged for, then they are senselessly killed. And this girl's like pretending to cry in a fucking restaurant. You can tell, you know, she's going like this, and you're like, you're not crying. You know, when people really cry, they can barely talk. You know, and there's no tears coming out your eyes. You're just going, I'm getting worked up about this. And then I don't know what the fuck she was talking about initially. And then I found out, it was like, oh, she's talking about eggs. And I was like, what the fuck? Have you nothing else to do, you fucking hairy-pitted hippie? It's just like, all these poor chickens being made to lay eggs. And you're like, yeah, but so? You know, you can eat eggs too. Chickens lay eggs all the fucking time. You can have a fucking pen in your back garden and let the fucking chickens lay eggs, and you can eat those eggs if that's the way you want to eat eggs. But the reality is, everyone loves eggs, so they need factories to shit the eggs out. Whether or not you fucking agree with it or not, that's... And then, here's the thing I heard. Because a lot of people talk about this shit and they're ill-informed, me included. However, I've talked to some people who have had experience, or, you know, girlfriend Maureen's dad has been around things like that, is, you know, I'm sure his whole life, has known friends who are probably exclusively chicken farmers. And he's like, you can have a free range setup, which is essentially a big fucking shed, which then has a hole in it, and everything, all the chickens can go outside and run about, right? He goes, if you feed the chickens inside, they all stay inside, bunched together, eating. He's like, if it's warm and there's food, they don't fucking go outside. They're free range. He's like, they have the free range to go wherever they want, you know, outside, fuck around the trees, run about in the grass. But if you're supplying them with food and water and heat inside, he goes, they just fucking sit on top of each other and shite all over the place. And eat so much they get so fat that their fucking legs break and all that shit. He's like, you don't have to be a battery farm in a cage, you know, to be encaged, basically. It's just one of those things. And they're also fucking maniacs, chickens killing each other, all that shit. People just get so fucking worked up about things. In fact, Maureen's sister did a work experience in a fucking meat factory because they had friends of the family who worked there. He's like, oh, you can come in and you can work in the office and whatever. And they give her a tour. And she goes, the actual process and the care taken around the slaughter of these cows, she's like, it actually makes you appreciate meat better. And I was like, there you go. There's a good, educated fucking opinion on something. Instead of just going, oh my God, blood. And then freaking out and never eating a fucking burger again in your life. Madness. Let's get on to these questions, folks, Wilba, because I feel like I've just more so than ever talked a wild lot of shit, haven't I? Just a lot of fucking shit. Shout out to Steve Nice, by the way. I might put a folder together, okay? Which is a compilation of all of the drawings this guy's done, Stephen Rogers. Every time I do a podcast, he basically makes a little piece of like fan art relating to what something that I've said. And they're usually so funny. Like last week, if you go on my Instagram, I was talking about Vice making a show with me. They're not, obviously, but it would be fucking so sweet. You know, if they did some sort of cooking show about Northern Ireland and I just go around trying to find like the best sausage bap. He made like a wee fan art thing that said like, it was called, instead of Fuck That's Delicious, which is the Action Bronson thing, he wrote, Aye, That's Tasty. And then he did a fucking really cool, like, illustrated sketch type thing of my face, which I fucking loved. I was like, that is the coolest thing I've ever seen. And put it as all my profile photos. But that guy does it more or less every week with the podcast. And I'll make a file, I think. Where'll I do it? Where's a good place to do that? Either on my personal Facebook or the Colin Geddes Facebook. I'll just put them all in one file. All related to the podcast. But he did this sketch of my face and I was like, that is cool as shit. I want that as a profile photo. Do you have it by itself? Can you send me just the isolated version? And he sent me the photo. And I just put it up as all my fucking profile photos. And then I was like, wouldn't that be cool in a frame? Like a wee white frame? And I'd love to get one done of Maureen too. So I basically sent him a picture of Maureen. I was like, do draw one of her too and we'll put them in frames side by side. And he's freaking out like, oh fuck, I don't even really do fucking this. He goes, this is literally me just fucking about. And I was like, well, you're better than most fucking illustrators I've seen. You know, there's a lot of people do drawings and it's like, well, I'm copying someone else's style and it looks like theirs. Whereas this guy just looks like he has a pretty cool style of his own. So there you go. Shout out to Steve Nice, one, I think it is, on Twitter. Up the bloody hoods. So let's do some questions here. Let's hit Twitter real quick, shall we? Twitter? Fuck me. Oh my God. I should have had this set up ready. Twitter.com. Motherfucker. Let's do it. Let's do it. Twitter questions. Wait till I get this new sound recorder, guys. This is all going to be set up the fuck. By the way, I got an Amazon Fire Stick yesterday and I am absolutely flying. Flying. Watching all Viceland programs and shit. Because you can't get it in this country. It's unreal. What's the last thing you bet on, Paddy Nunley? Nothing, mate. I'm not into gambling. Mainly because I'm scared of what would happen if I did get into it. So I just don't bother with it. Literally, the last thing I bet on was probably I give someone like a fiver to put on a horse in the Grand National and I didn't even check if it won. So there you go. Would you ever gig in Uri again, given the fact them two arseholes wouldn't shut up, was a great gig apart from them ones. How long ago was that in fucking Uri? Jesus Christ. I don't know, there's a comedian called Dan Matthews who did the Comedians Christmas Do, who was trying to organise some gigs in Uri, so maybe something will come of that. I probably would gig again. Just historically, every gig I've done there was fucking weird. What's the difference? Someone in church and someone in the bath. One soul is full of hope and the other's hole is full of soap. And that's from Joe Kenny. Is that you just telling me a joke? I thought that was a question, but that's actually the full joke. What's the difference between someone in church and someone in a bath? One's soul is full of hope and the other's soul is full of soap. Well, there you go. That sounds like one your granda would have told you before he put you in the back of the van. You're a very rude boy, Joe. You will not get into heaven with bad talk like that. Oh, there's Barbara Wilson, someone he knows, getting after him. Chris McMenamin, yes, Colin, cliche question, but in any New Year's resolutions you want to try and stick to this year? Also, apologies for fangirling in Derry. Yeah, Chris McMenamin, met him in at the nerve centre there. Wasn't fangirling at all. I don't mind. I love it when people are genuinely, like, a fan of something. Instead of just some fucking random shouting, "Oh, buy a blender. When do you not make any more videos?" And you're like, "They're out all the fucking time, you dickhead." And they're like, "All right, sorry, I don't pay attention or like you at all." Any New Year's resolutions? I'd like to just make just millions of pounds would be great. I don't know. I might dramatically try and cut down the drinking, or maybe just stop. I get super bored with shit. Eventually, and then I just quit, like coffee and tea. I was just like, I don't need 35 of these a day. Let's have none. So I might just get like that with drink, or I'm like, I maybe had enough drink, and I'll just stop. This is someone jumping in on the old Jesus quotes from below. Daniel Brown, as someone who's known him for years, heaven's been off the itinerary since the mid-90s. And I'll tell you something, I don't know who Daniel Brown is. As someone who's known him for years, I don't know anyone called Daniel Brown, sorry mate. Obviously your base would be BJJ, this is Jamie14. Obviously your base would be BJJ, but what fighting style suits your personality had you chosen to be an MMA fighter? You know when that fork in the road appeared, when it was like, do I do shit stand-up comedy or be an MMA fighter? What style would it be? It would probably be just power punching till you're tired and then try and get you to the ground. There would be no skill in it whatsoever. Maybe good at getting the full mount and just punching people out, possibly. I don't know. Have you ever watched the end of season 3 of The Fall? Yes, I did. Did you mean to do it, or was... Did he mean to do it, or was he just having a wee strangle wank? Or the old Hitchens, as it's called? No, I think that looked pretty deliberate. You know, he definitely meant to hang himself. Not to spoil it for anyone that hasn't seen it, but Jamie Dornan was all like, I'm just going to kill myself now. Hangs himself over a door. It takes perseverance to die of a fucking... to just let yourself die like that. You know, you would get that bag around your head, you'd go to choke yourself, and you'd probably end up ripping the bag open and being like, fucking, I killed myself there. Fuck's sake, I thought I was going to chill out and go to sleep and you're died there. Here's Alistair Adams. Do you make much money from YouTube? Thinking of making vids. Have one or two tutorials already, but make £3 a month. Not sure worth bothering. Well, that's a terrible attitude, Alistair. If you go out with the intention of making videos from YouTube, you end up going down the route of like, what gets the most hits? Oh my god, really shocking shit gets the most hits. Let me start doing fake pranks, and then you end up like one of them cunts who like, you know, like blows his girlfriend's hand off with a firework just for a fucking million hits. You know, or like you prank homeless people by letting them steal a fucking bike, and then the bike's tied to a chain that's tied to a fucking lamppost, and some homeless person who thought they were getting a free bike comes off and smashes their fucking jaw into the floor and doesn't have the money to pay medical bills in America. So what I would do, mate, is just make videos and then figure out another way to make money in real life. Not a lot of people make a fortune off YouTube videos, you know. In fact, most of the money when your videos are popular comes from outside sources. YouTube aren't giving you that much money, but if you're getting a million odd hits, people are going to want a part of that, you know. They'll be like, oh, do you want me to sponsor that? Do you want to do some fucking, you know, I don't know what your tutorials are, but if you were getting enough hits on them, people might go, here, do you want to review this? Because we're getting a million eyes on it. But it's a long road, Alistair, so good fucking luck. Let's hit these Facebook questions here. Thoughts on Ryza getting Amanda handled? That's from Chris Amos. Yeah, it was pretty fucking... I mean, the problem is, all the highlights were all like, such and such gets beaten, but you know, Ronda Rousey gets beaten in 48 seconds. None of it was like Amanda Nunes beats the shit out of Ronda Rousey. You know, the champion keeps her belt against Ronda Rousey. None of that shit. Yeah, it was impressive. She beat the fuck out of her. I mean, Ronda Rousey didn't move her head once. Just kept it upright and just got hit a million fucking times. And then did that thing where she just stood there like a wee girl. You'd just fallen off her fucking bike at the end. Hard to watch. Liam Devaney, would you rather have no arms or no legs? Who would ever choose legs over arms? Usain Bolt. I would definitely just take the legs off. I'm not a guy who makes full use of my fucking legs anyway. Yeah, arms. I mean, you can get fake legs. You can be in a wheelchair. You can get around. But the general day-to-day, like, you know, boil the kettle, make some toast, take a piss, wipe your arse, write a letter, send a text. Very much a nightmare with no hands. Kenneth Wilson, you listen to podcasts. Have you ever listened to The Complete Guide to Everything? It's by no means a guide to anything, but it's pretty good. Wondering if you're aware of it. I've heard of it. I'll give it a go. I've never listened to it ever, though. Yeah, I'll give it a go. Loving the podcast, vlogs, and the funny vids. Keep it up, because you and the guys are slamming it. Jimmy Winter. Jimmy Winter, what a great name. I'm Jimmy Winters. Anyways, I know you've spoken about it before, but about hecklers, and they're mostly drunken shouts. But what's the funniest comeback you've ever heard? Greatest I heard was Jimmy Carr. I know this one. A bloke shouted, and Jimmy's reply was, if you want my comeback, you'll have to scrape it off your mum's teeth. Where was the worst you've died on stage? Best heckle comeback? I don't know. I mean, they're all sort of like, you can do whatever you want. People have heckled me and I've just went, shush. And people have laughed their heads off. You know, it's just about how you handle it. You know, I've been heckled before and I've just stared at someone in dismay. Like, why would you think of saying that? And everyone laughed at that. You know, there's different ways to fucking handle shit. There's a bit in the new Joey Diaz special where someone goes, I love you, Joey. And he immediately just goes, I love you, sexy bitch. Made me laugh real hard. It's not really a heckle, but it was good. Where is the worst you've died on stage? I mean, there's dying. I don't know if I've ever, like, this sounds like I'm being in such a con, but I've definitely died on stage, but I've definitely, the ones that get me more are the gigs where, like, are the gigs where it shouldn't have been a gig at all. Like the gig I did for Tenants one time, and they were giving away free drink and food, and I had to go up and do a gig, and the woman went up and introduced me, and you couldn't hear her. This is in the Dirty Onion in Belfast. Like, ladies and gentlemen, here's your comedian for the night, Colin Kenneth. And then I went up, and it could have been New Year's Eve in fucking the Dirty Onion, rammed to the dick full of people. And I was just standing there, like, talking in this shitty PA system, like, hello? But they were paying handsomely for that, and it was a fucking nightmare, let me tell you. But then I come off and people are like, oh, it was great and all. Like Pete Snodden from fucking Cool FM. That's really good stuff, mate. And I was like, how the fuck did you hear anything there? Come to a comedy gig. And not just one they're giving out free shit, Pete. Sort your life out. Any chance of a vlog with slow cooker recipes? And that's from Stephen Tenney. I mean, I might do something cooking related. I don't know. Slow cooker recipes. I don't really have any fucking recipes with a slow cooker. I just throw it in and let it cook. Because I'm sort of, I'm between, like, you know, do you go to the effort of infusing all these things and marinating your meat and all that shit, or do you just cook the fucking meat and then season it and put stuff on after? That's where I would be. I would be more like I've said this before, pulled pork doesn't taste like much. It's the texture you like, so just cook the fucking pork, and then when you're done, put it in a frying pan with some fucking, like, barbecue sauce or some shit. Delicious. Seymour Skinner, who drew your head? I like it. Yeah, it was Steve Nice One on the old Twitter there. Check him out. I don't know if he's not a professional illustrator, I don't think. I think he just likes making wee images for fun. He's an image maker. I'm pretty sure I did a module of that in art college. Image making? What? Where would Frangos get rated on the Pengist Munch? And that's from Connor Curry. If you haven't seen the Pengist Munch, check it out on YouTube. It's fucking outstanding. With that wee black dude runs around like fucking, yeah, bruv. My theory that it's actually a girl, but whatever. Tastes like chicken burgers and wings and then gives it marks out of 5 or 10. 5, I think it is. It's thoroughly entertaining. Where would it rate? Not highly, but I don't think. Anytime I've had one, I've been absolutely out of my fucking mind. But I get weird shit for it. The chips are good. You know. The chips are dead, fam. Chips are alright. Their gravy looks like fucking paint. I wouldn't go near that. I'm trying to think if I've even had just bits of chicken out of there. I think it's probably grand. I usually get the burger that has the beef burger and the chicken burger in it because I'm a fat bitch. But I'm tired of getting drunk and eating them and just waking up in the morning and that's all I can taste. I'm so sick of doing that. Where would it rate? It would probably get about a 2.5, I'd say. It's not great. Ryan Doyle, any tips for a wedding speech? Don't try too much to stick to like a fucking script, is what I would say. Have like, do it the way you do a stand-up comedy set, which is like, how long is the speech to be? Like 10 minutes or something? So say you have 6 or 8 points on a page. You know, just write down, hello, intro, and just, you know, the usual shit, blah blah, great to be here, whatever. And then just you could almost parody what a fucking speech is. Just be like, well, we all know that, you know, you're waiting to hear some embarrassing stories about this guy, but, you know, I couldn't really come across any. Only joking. Here's 10 stories about him in Amsterdam, bucking all around him. You know, just have little points, but don't try and remember things word for word. If you've experienced something with somebody, and you tell the story like you would tell a group of mates of the story, you know. Oh, there's a time here, fucking Steve barfed down the sleeve of his jumper and then left the coat. You know, just tell it the way you were telling your mates. Don't be like, I'm going to try and inject jokes into this like fucking, like I'm Jim Jeffries. Just smile a lot and be friendly, you know what I mean? People know that it's scary. Unless you're a really good joke writer and then just write fucking 10 jokes about him at the end. James T. Kirk, how best to dislodge a tacky testicle from your inner thigh? Every man knows the agony of needing to unstick the octopus from the walls of its tank. Yeah, I mean, you just gotta fucking grab it and yank it off there. There's no polite way to do it. People have walked along, done the weird sidestep to let your bag fall down the middle again, but I think it's way better just to go ahead and grab it and yank it out. Or the art of distraction, like, what's that sign say over there? And then just pull that shit off. Kieran Ward, Comedy Squad, marry one, shag one, shoot one. I'd probably just shoot them all at this point. Sick of the look of them. I don't know. They're fucking hell. I've never seen a bunch of chunkier, fatter bastards in my life. Apart from Rory Woods, but he actually might be the fattest. I don't know how, but I think he might be. Favourite film? Lewis McClanahan. Fuck. I've said this before, but probably Swingers. I don't know, it just seems like everybody saw Swingers and then made 10 other films that were like Swingers. Mm-hmm. And also, This Is the End. Don't ask me why. I just really, really like it. It makes me laugh hard. Sometimes people just like shit things. It's like guilty pleasure. There's just something about it I really like. Thoughts on vegan diet and vegans in general? I think if you can be arsed, you know. It's like... Thoughts on vegan diet and vegans? If you're going to do it, go for it. If you can be fucked with the upkeep, go for it. I feel like vegetarian might be sustainable. Vegan is a bit like, you know, it really feels like it's getting in the way of your life. If you feel strongly about it, go for it. But don't be fucking preaching to other people what they should be doing. If you don't want to eat animal products, don't. But it just seems like, it doesn't seem like the healthiest way to go even. You know, I'm a vegan, but then I also have to take 19 pills a day just for fucking protein. I mean, let's face it, most of them are fucking weird and preachy. But then again, it's something I just don't care about. I just don't give a shit about it. I don't have few enough problems where eating meat becomes a fucking issue. I don't eat enough meat. How about that? Peter Nish, final question. Is it okay to call your child Thor? Well, it better be a fucking badass when it grows up. You know, he can't be like, this is Thor and he's doing his rhythmic gymnastic recital this afternoon. You know what I'm saying? This is Thor. Here's a fucking bracelet that he plaited. The cunt's gonna have to be like lifting weights while he's in nappies. This is Thor. He plays first 15 rugby and he's 13. That's the type of cunt you need to be when you're Thor. But then I think it's borderline child abuse giving your kids stupid names. You know, you're like, here's a stupid name that you're either going to have to spell for people or re-pronounce your whole fucking life. My name's Lana. What? And then you have to fucking say it again and then spell it. My name's Thor. What? Why is your name Thor? Because my parents were wankers. You know what I'm saying? Unbelievable. That was the final question there, folks. So I might have to get the fuck out of here, edit this podcast together, go about my day. Cheers for listening, guys. It's the new year. Happy New Year. Let me... beer52.com, that's the other thing I wanted to remind you of. Just remember that if you want to support this podcast and you want beer, sign up to beer52.com. That's all I have to tell you. Use the code BANTER10. If you hear this in time, get the Laveries tonight. Or get the Laveries on the 20th of January. It's all go, baby. Check out my vlogs on the old YouTube. A new one went up. Follow me on Snapchat. R. McCann, he was around here the other day filming a video. For Boojum, that was another thing we did there. Filmed a wee video for Boojum. He was in it. It's real funny. Check that out. Share it. He set up a new Snapchat. Snap McCann. So there you go, that's about it. My Snapchat is just Colin Geddes, and that's it, guys. I'll fucking speak to you next week. Respect.